Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Get ready to feel uncomfortable, Tom.
I inhabit that place every day, my friend. Bring it on.
My opening question for you and for me and for producer Zane, who is on mic today, is what age were you when you lost your virginity?
16. I'll just come out to it. 16 years old. 16 years old. I was a terrible thing. I shouldn't have had sex till I was 25. But yes, 16. I'll cop to it.
Was it good?
No.
No. I'm not sure that I've ever heard anyone's. So I'm also.
The enjoyable aspects, touching boobies is always nice,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
You know, so the elements of it is just always wonderful. Yes. But as a whole experience, no.
Yes.
I would probably the answer.
I also, 16.
Hey, there you go. High five. Across the way there.
Not super fun. No.
No.
Quite painful, actually. And it was one of those ones where you're like, is this what everyone is talking about?
This is it.
Really?
For the rest of my life.
Okay. I mean, it got better. No. Zane?
Well, now I feel like I'm going to be slut shamed. I was a bit younger than you all.
That's not slut shaming. I would have had I had the opportunity. I just did not have the opportunity.
That's right.
So I was 14, and it was good.
Congratulations.
Well done.
But again, like as is evident in my episodes, I was a very precocious child.
Yes.
So yeah, like it was with my boyfriend at the time, and we had talked about everything and explored everything and prepared everything, and it just went good.
Communication. Yes. solves all the problems.
You had sex at 14, but you were very adult about it. It's sounding you were at least in a comfortable, knowledgeable position. I think I was too young. I was too dumb.
I wouldn't say knowledgeable,
right? Yeah,
but
sure.
Like, because again, the resources available.
I mean, talking to each other and knowledgeable of each other. I suppose is what.
And
I
it was like. That's the thing. I think people having sex at an age younger than 16 isn't necessarily the worst thing that could ever happen in the world. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of power imbalances when it comes to like bigger age gaps at that age.
Yes.
But again, like I think I was perfectly okay and a better person for having sex at that age.
Right.
So I don't regret it. But it is a little weird because, having sex at that age. Now, if a 14-year-old told me that they were having sex with their regular boyfriend, I would be like,
"You're a cherub."
Oh, dude, I have a 12-year-old sister, and if in 2 years she's having sex, I'm going to be having words with her.
Yes, right.
But for me, I could have had it earlier, but we didn't have protection, so I said no.
Yes.
Because, you know, if it ain't on, it ain't on, as everybody was saying back in the times.
So, back in the times. So there you go, readers, some behind-the-curtain action from your three hosts today on Ghosts of Boyfriends Past.
My excuse is that, you know, I grew up in a rural area and there's not much else to do.
Yeah, fair enough. Rural Australia.
So parents, if you don't want your kids having sex young, give them wholesome other activities to do. Yep. Fill their time.
I just spent a lot of time with my family and not a lot of time other places, so... All right, so today is a main episode. Your ears do not deceive you. It is a main episode. However, there is no guest in the studio because today we are reading out a tome that has been sent in to us. And I didn't have here whether they wanted me to share their name or not, so I'm not going to
probably
err on the side of caution.
Well, this reader's done exactly what we asked you to do at the end of every episode. They realize that, or we through them have realized, we can't get them into the studio, so they've sent their story through. We'll read it aloud. You will be heard. And if your story is short, a brief little paragraph, we will feature it on a small mini-sode that happens outside of these main ones. So well done, reader. Everyone everyone else, you know the deal. Sit there or run, or keep running on the treadmill, whatever you do when you listen to us.
And, no one runs on the treadmill when they listen to us. You if reckon? You do, write zero, in. Zero. Prove me wrong. Prove
zero,
me wrong, bitches.
Zero people. All right.
Now, I will confess that I meant to bring my computer in and I did not, so I am reading this on my phone. So if I stumble, deal with it. Okay, so this one has even been titled. There's a headline. It's called The Ghost of Her, which I really like. Hi guys, I'm really enjoying hearing all those tales of old ghost pasts, cause I have one myself. Well, I have about six in all, but who hasn't, unless your very first one works out? And that's the one I'm going to tell you about, my very first. So, actually turns out that the question we asked at the start of the episode accidentally worked out, and I really didn't, I forgot that that was really good matching. Not only was she the first, but she was also as close to my ideal that I had been walking around in my head with. Now, while I would love to tell my story live in your studio, I would rather remain semi-anonymous for now, so you can use my name. Oh, so you can use my name if you like. One day, though, I would love to share with the world the pure synchronicity of the moment the universe conspired to create with a song or a story my ghost might hear or read. Who knows? She might even happen to hear this one. You guys are world famous, right? Smiley face.
Absolutely.
We are. I'm not even being sarcastic. We've got audience in. We charted in Iceland at some point.
fucking hell.
Anyway, here goes. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. No, just kidding. It happened 38 years ago and on planet
fucking
Earth.
Star Wars. Star Wars nerd. Jesus. This is our readership? No.
Yes, Lord. It is. And we love them. It is a tale of love at first sight and first love. I hear it's quite rare, but I lived this one magical moment between two people from different corners of the globe colliding in one instant time in Australia.
This writer is very poetic.
Yep.
And I'm using the word poetic instead of melodramatic. But I'm interested to see where this goes. I would like to ask you, though, if you had a love at first sight that wasn't reciprocated, then had a love at first sight that was reciprocated,
right?
Would you remember the one that wasn't?
I mean, unrequited love is kind of fucking hard to forget.
Yeah, but what if it's just like 1 month and then the next month? Because I feel like if I don't know how old this story is going to be about, but like if when I was, let's say 15, and I had an unrequited love, and then a month later I had
a requited
love at first sight, I think I would pretty quickly
forget
about
everything. This might be requited.
I hope so.
Yeah, because you don't know.
No, I don't. I was just saying, because it's both their first love and love at first sight.
I'm going to applaud the writerly. Do not feel you have to be this writerly and poetic when you write in. I'm appreciative of it, but you can just dot point it if you want to. But this is poetry.
We really need to get some like swelling strings.
Yes, I know. I know. We'll score it later. It has a unique Australian setting, but I dare say that it's been played out countless times in countries where there has been an influx of migrants post-war. And while this story occurred in the 20th century, it would reach out to me many decades later in the 21st when I came across a box of old memories with a journal, some old love letters and bits and pieces from the 80s. Did you know that a student concession cinema ticket cost $5 in those days and train travel for students was 50 cents? Crazy, hey? Absolutely fucking bonkers. That's what that is. Okay. I was born in Uruguay, she in Spain. It was Friday, the 11th of January, 1985. Oh, wow. I was like a couple of months old, bro. I had nothing to do that night. My best friend was busy with a family thing, and I felt like seeing my two good friends, brother and sister Manuel and Marta, at a Latin American social club in Liverpool, in Sydney's southwest. Oh, I used to live near Liverpool. The club was run by my father and a few others for social and cultural events for the Latin American community. Friday night was the under-18s disco night.
Okay. And West Side Story in Sydney.
Yes.
That's what I'm what I'm getting.
Southwest Side Story. Now I'm imagining everyone just clicking and dancing.
Yeah. Or they're in the dance hall. Like it's totally identic.
Yeah. I was its DJ up until the month before, but that's just another story for another day.
Humble brag.
Mm-hmm, I know. I love it. By the way, this person has said that we can share their name. Their name is Alex. I'm not sharing the surname because semi-anonymous was the request. Mm-hmm, yeah. I walked in at about 7:30 p.m. and was surprised to see a very decent crowd. From the front of the hall, I see Marta waving to me enthusiastic. Enthusiastically, sorry. She was a petite 17-year-old, short blonde streaked hair with an electric personality.
Marta is friend?
I think so. Marta Manuel is friend. And Marta. Manuel is brother of Marta, yep. I believe. I walk over to the front table and she introduces me to her cousin. Let's call her Emily, my daughter's name. Traditionally, we Latin folk give each other kisses on the cheek. Unusually, Emily offered her hand as a greeting. Oh, that's very wholesome.
Red flag.
Why?
Oh, this felt like adding some drama into the story.
Oh, dear.
After our introduction, I walked off to meet and greet others, but I had this strange feeling that I may have seen or met Emily before. The music began playing at 8 p.m. and I scanned the hall for Marta, my usual dancing partner. I look around and I see Emily sitting by herself at one of the front tables where we were introduced earlier, one hand cupped under her chin. I felt kind of sorry for her as there weren't many other people sitting down, not usually being very decisive when it came to asking girls for a dance. I distinctly remember something else just pulling me in. As I approach, she smiles. I asked her for a dance and she very politely replied, yes, thank you. To give you an idea of what she looked like, imagine Virginia Madsen out of the 80s film Electric Dreams, but with shoulder-length hair. Okay. Now, some of our younger listeners may need to do a bit of a Google.
Just Google it.
Yeah, just Google it. We can do that these days. On the dance floor, she told me that she was from Spain, arrived in Australia when she was one, was 16 years old and lived in Blacktown, Western Sydney. I was blown away. She looked at least 18 and a little bit like an Aussie, but boy, she already had me at Spain. So with our hearts and minds open to love, we connected instantly. If ever someone talks to you about the chemistry that two people have between them, believe all of it. For what I felt in that moment when our eyes met was indescribable. A spark so quick that it hit me in a heartbeat. Now, have you two ever felt that kind of connection with someone?
I don't think I'd like it that instant, an instant spark, right?
I've had a delayed chemistry, so it was like I didn't see someone some way and then I saw them doing the thing that they loved really well and then it hit me like a fucking bolt out of the blue.
Oh, if we're talking about just like the lightning bolt,
yeah,
I've had that, but never like right at the first
no,
moment.
No, right, same, yeah, same.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I've had that more instantly with a friendship, yes, and a sense of humor, where I met this person and within a minute we were making each other laugh the exact same way, the same brain. I've had that, but not instantly. Actually, I think you're more cautious with a romantic part. I'm like, no, maybe don't look into it too much.
I did meet someone once where I was like that, but then we both had partners and 5 years later we were dating and he was the worst thing to ever happen to me. Does that count?
I think it counts. I mean, if we just...
Because I remember when I first met him thinking, oh, hang on, and then instantly dismissed it because we both had partners. But then 5 years later...
Getting struck by lightning isn't a good thing.
And this is why polygamy is the only way. All
right. Okay. As we stood in front of each other dancing, it was like a drug was washing through us both. And like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, this drug metamorphosed into an overwhelming feeling of attraction and desire that I had never experienced before.
Oh, teenagers.
I know. Yes. So dramatic.
I'm...
But this was 38 years ago.
Yeah, and I agree, and I really love the romanticism of like teenagers all going to a dance hall on a Saturday night, yes, just to kind of hang out and have fun and dance with your friends.
I used to love the old PCYC under 18 dances.
I'm interested though in how much of this like phrasing and poetry is pulled directly from their journal.
Yeah,
and how
true.
Much or how much they're kind of putting into it now.
Yeah.
So, Alex, if you want to write in and let us know that, because I love it. It's
Are you
great.
Drawing from feelings that you wrote down at the time, or is these feelings still within you now? Okay. The way she spoke, the way she tucked her hair behind her left ear, the way her eyes sparkled when I spoke, and those eyes, I was melting. I couldn't control any of it. Something ancient, something primal, something powerful had taken over.
Oh, that's...
You're a teenager and you're horny.
Teenager.
That's what's happened.
That's the thing.
Friend.
In any other context, those are worrying words.
Yeah.
We danced all night and we spoke as if we'd known each other for years for the rest of the night. That is one thing I love. I love it when, yeah, that happens, and that has happened many times with not just romantic partners but with people who, like, you're just like, how the fuck have we not been friends our entire friggin' lives?
The old D&M.
Yep, the old D&M. We D&M'd all night long. We found that we had very similar interests. Oh, except one. She liked Lamborghinis and I liked Ferraris.
That's it. He's calling
sure,
it off.
Yeah.
It's over.
Capulet and Montague all over again.
We both left that night wondering what the hell had just happened. Sounds like a bit of a fairy tale. Soulmates, fate and all that, question mark. I say question mark because I didn't put inflection it properly. There was one problem. She was 16 and I was 19, and there was no getting around the fact that we were in very different worlds in life. And that, look, when you're grown-ups, that's not a big age difference.
No, 3 years is a doddle. If you're 34 and they're 37, fine.
It's nothing.
It's a doddle.
But that's huge, high school versus huge, not high school.
Huge age gap at that age.
I was struggling transitioning into the adult world after dropping out of uni while she was still in the relative safety of high school. You hear of couples my mum's age, she's 85, often talk about how they met their life partner in high school. The late Queen and Prince Philip apparently met for the first time when she was 13 and he was 18.
The healthiest relationship we can ever think of.
Yeah, I love looking to the royals for romance
I don't
advice.
Think that happens much these days, though. I also don't think there's such a bent towards marriage as much as there used to be either, because people, like, if you were left on the shelf by mid-20s, you were already a spinster.
Yeah, and religion probably ropes you into it as well.
Yeah. Well, you were expected to be looking for your life partner.
Yeah.
End of high school and during your early, well, your late adolescence, whereas now you're not meant to be looking for your life partner until like mid-20s.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Which really doesn't work in well with fertility, but that's another story for another day.
Yes.
Anyway, I remember going crazy at home waiting for her phone call. Remember that when you had to wait next to a landline?
Missing someone.
Haha, I couldn't stalk them on social media those days. We exchanged phone numbers at the end of the night and she said she'd call me, but as her mother was a bit strict with boys calling her at home. Her mother was divorced and understandably protective of her youngest child. She called on Monday.
Oh,
she said she'd spoken...
What's that? This is like 36 hours.
I know, but still, exciting.
Ridiculous.
She said she'd spoken to her mother and she was now allowed to call me once per week. That's really wholesome.
Very cute.
Once per week. She said the very next thing she said nearly broke my heart. She said she was too young for boyfriends. Her mother wouldn't allow it, but that we could still see each other as friends. We both had traditional Hispanic upbringings and shared similar values, so I understood and respected that. So that's how it was for a year.
Okay.
We saw each other about every 2 weeks. We wrote letters and we spoke on the phone once or twice a week.
I mean, that's incredibly wholesome. And probably healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. Because this means that you're getting to know someone. It's not just like, hey, I met you and this is crazy, but here's my number, so call me maybe. Like,
and
it's,
we're married.
Yeah, and we're married.
Have a baby.
Yeah. It's like actually, you know, I'm sorry, but letter writing, fucking great.
Yeah,
I love it.
Courting,
that's adorable. That's wooing. There is wooing afoot.
But also imagine the tension when you can talk one time a week.
Yeah, instead of this social media where you can text someone and literally if you want to tell someone about a conversation you had with someone a week ago, you have to scroll back like 50 pages of text.
Yeah.
Once per week, you have to save it all up. This is why he's so poetic. Yeah. He had to write all his thoughts out. Now, I was very happy being just friends for a while, but there were times when I didn't actually know how to just be her friend. Furthermore, we hadn't defined what being friends was for two people with such strong feelings and emotional connection. Our relationship was strictly platonic. No hugging, no kissing, no holding hands. In fact, we held hands less than half a dozen times, and dancing to slow songs were the only times that our bodies physically touched.
Cute.
I'm
interested in whether the relationship in terms of like physicality was different between the love interest and friend Marta.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because obviously he has fun with Marta Ben and they're slow dancing when they dance.
Yeah.
So that's something.
Yeah, I think that there would probably one of those like walking around occasional pinky grays. Oh no, accidentally. Oops, what?
Taking what you can get.
Yeah. Our special friendship, as we decided to label it, began to unravel in August of that year.
No.
I know.
An unraveling.
I know.
What could possibly
I'm
happen?
All really sad about this, you guys. When she wrote in a letter that what we had was just puppy love. and she felt that she wasn't ready for that special forever relationship that she had observed in her older siblings.
I'm wondering if they're communicating this in Spanish as well, because that ends in
you make it more romantic.
Adds an extra like little layer of I don't know.
Maybe not romantic, but definitely dramatic.
Dramatic. Yeah. It's a telenovela.
Mis amor, all that stuff.
I have no idea why she felt the need to downplay what we both felt. Wait! Did you both feel that? Yes. That's the thing. This is the question I would be asking. Like, because as a teenager or even as a 20-year-old, I'm like, we both feel it. Why can't you? Yeah. Maybe she doesn't feel it as strongly as you, maybe. Or maybe she said that she didn't. It's making her scared.
It's an insane thing, because when you're feeling the whole universe telling you that this person is right, and the emotions you feel, okay, how can they can't be wrong? You end up convincing yourself that they feel it too. Unless you're sitting there saying, and you're both telling each other exactly how you feel. I don't know.
Will say though, when your communication is restricted as what theirs is, it's not going to be hard for her to be just like, oh no, I couldn't call you this week, et cetera. Like, you think ghosting's easy now.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like if there's one call in a semi-weekly hangout, that's all you need to get out of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alex says, I suspect that she wanted to save us from another heartache, one of which we suffered back in April, where, having shared bits of ourselves, our feelings and emotions for 4 months, plus some nagging and encouragement from Manuel and Marta, I asked her to be my girlfriend. I thought that we'd maybe come to that natural point in our relationship where we could move from just being friends. However, that night, and a single red rose I was to give her did not go so well. Again, she reiterated that she couldn't commit to more than friendship. Friends are forever, right? Quoting from part of the conversation we had that night. What I didn't understand was, why didn't she consider us as a couple that could last forever? What was holding her back? She was real young, yeah. Alex. She was real young.
Yeah.
This is beautiful, and I love how I love how much I can see that your heart and soul yearns for her. But oh my God, if someone had tried to pin me down at the age of 16, 17, 18, 19, that's scary shit.
Yeah, okay. Also, I mean, you say pin down.
Yeah.
But
it's just girlfriend, Alex boyfriend.
Alex is also young.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So,
and like, he's just starting for boyfriend, girlfriend. Emotions are
still heightened for everyone, I think.
Okay. Never would I be braver in love than at that moment I asked her to be my girlfriend, and never in my life would I be that vulnerable again. I was deeply hurt, so I created space between us, not knowing quite how to treat her for weeks. Somehow, we picked up the pieces from that horrid April night. After a couple of frank conversations, a letter and phone calls, we slowly got back to that close friendship that we had, convincing ourselves that our strong emotional connection was just not worth giving up.
Okay. I think he's projecting there.
I do too, I'm not Alex.
Sure that she thinks that. I think you're thinking
I'm
that.
Not, yeah. Yeah. I hope that this is a mutual thing, but it's very, very easy when you are wearing rose-colored glasses to think that everything is rosy, potentially. At one point, in one of her letters in May or June, we began to think about what a future together might actually be like. We were getting very comfortable in each other's presence once again. So maybe, and I'm guessing here, those words in that August letter were intended to create some emotional space. Oh, okay. So he's saying they had a talk about their future, and then she came back again and said, let's just be friends. And so he's saying now the words in the August letter were intended to create some emotional space for fear of being hurt a second time. Can I just say, Alex says, that she was pretty good at opening me up. I generally would be the one to close up if I had something that was troubling me. It's a typical male thing! Exclamation point.
But Alex, I think this story is a very strong argument against what you just said.
Yeah. But this is the thing. Like, this is the beginning of him opening up and being vulnerable.
Okay.
I think. And I'm into it. It's good. But with the sweet innocence of a child, she would... I don't like that. She would ask questions, which was very brave of her, I must say, and she would open me up like a can of tuna. Our motto was no secrets, but it was always difficult finding space for frank talk because of the constraints that we'd placed upon ourselves.
Ooh. Yeah, okay.
I do enjoy that they're trying to be very open about communication. I like that. Communication was really hard in those days too, Alex says. We were separated by a fair distance, and I remember that we were only allowed to see each other every 2 weeks. There was also only one phone in the house, in the most public place possible, in the living room. And when we met, it was always difficult to create a little private space in a public area without making it so obvious that we were having a heart-to-heart. She was also always chaperoned at night by an older sibling, usually her sister and her boyfriend. And remember too that we were only supposed to be friends. This was a difficult time for me. I took the words in that letter to heart. We still hadn't defined what we had, nor the boundaries of our friendship. And all month I could not get those words out of my head. I assume it's the we have to just friends. Yes. We would occasionally tell each other by letter or by phone that we should have a talk, where one of the topics or of discussion would be if we were free to see or date other people. We never got round to that talk. By her birthday in September, I found it increasingly difficult to be around her. Pretending to be okay with just being friends was killing me. I created space between us again, testing her feelings for me. It was unfair, and I know that, and she did not deserve it. I began to call her less, see her less, write less. I think the modern term these days is ghosting.
There we go.
Yeah.
Also, you say whether we were allowed to see other people.
Yeah.
And I think only you are allowed to see other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, I actually think that by creating space that what he's doing is very healthy. I think if something is causing you pain, you need to step away from that. I don't think that you should keep, you know, and potentially communicate to the person why you're doing it. But if you can't do that and if you're not in the space for that, then creating the space is healthy.
If there's still communication, you have to like own up to the fact of like, hey, I was really nervous about talking to you today because I'm not feeling great about where we are.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it doesn't sound like he wanted. It sounds like he's gone back to old teenage Alex and closing up.
Yeah, yeah. We went to Tina's nightclub in Seven Hills that night. Your listeners in Sydney who were clubbing in the 80s would remember that place. Write in and let us know if you remember Tina's.
Please do.
It wasn't a good night. The space I was creating became really noticeable to our small group that came along, noting that I was becoming distant, at times physically shifting me or themselves so that I could be next to her and requesting a love song or two from the DJ. I think he's saying his friends are doing that. However, they didn't get played before her 12 o'clock curfew. Thinking back, I think her sister knew that I had started to check out and probably thought that if she got us physically close that I might come back and lose the distance that I was creating. So it sounds like the friends are trying to play matchmaker here, and he's shut down.
The sister is her chaperone, right? Okay. Yeah.
But like if I was my chaperone of my younger sister, I'd want to hook sister up.
Oh, no, absolutely. Like you just wanted to stop at a certain place.
So basically Alex is saying that a whole bunch of friends kept moving so that he could sit next to, I think we're calling her Emily, and that people are requesting songs and the sister was even trying to be a wing woman. But he's shut down.
The one thing I'm not hearing from this whole story, and Alex, you sound like a lovely guy, emotionally ready and sort of available. I'm not hearing Emily's perspective, like her friend. Like Alex, you're clearly all over this poor girl, and her friend, like, and your friends and her sister are trying to push you together. But I'm not seeing her excitement from her.
Were the people who could touch her like moving her towards him, or were they just kind of positioning themselves and herding them in together?
I just hear a lot of reluctance on her behalf, I suppose, or just
indifference.
Something along the lines.
I really wish that we could somehow find out and get her on. Okay, the insecurities that I felt were made all the more intense by an upbringing that I'd had without physical nurturing. I don't blame my parents, it was part of their generation, but I yearned for human touch from someone with feelings for me, from Emily.
Mm.
I lost my best friend that night too, to my younger sister who had been after him for months. My parents had always insisted I bring her along to social gatherings, and it was one of those WOG things. Now, you can only say that, the W word, if you are actually...
Lost my best friend?
Yeah, I know. I think. It took me completely by surprise. I didn't see it coming. I thought that there was an unspoken rule. Anyway, we were never the same after that. So I think it's like you don't date your siblings. Don't date my siblings, bro.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought he died.
No.
So
well, that's why I lost my best friend that night to my younger sister who'd been after him.
Right, Alex's sister. Yeah. Got with his best friend, so therefore he couldn't be best friends anymore.
Yeah, because you broke the bro code or whatever.
I think it's a little harsh to the best friend, because the saying, like, yes, saying to your best friends, please don't sleep with my siblings if you can help it, is one thing. But saying to your own sibling, please don't, like, trying to tell one of my sisters what to do as a teenager, you just can't do that. There's no hope. So, I don't know, little unfair.
All right. Now, we're jumping forward. For my birthday in December, I went over to Emily's place. It was a chill day, one of the best of our whole year together. She gave me this giant card and an envelope she made herself, similar to scrapbooking, all nicely decorated with lace and other colourful bits and pieces. In the card was a letter, which I was asked to open at home, her last. In it, for the first time, she declared her love for me and that she would not let what we had go to waste when things are different. Was she asking me to stay? If she was, I was no longer listening. I had checked out and I could no longer see a future us. We had reached the end. No one was to blame. We were just, after all, teenagers learning to love.
So in her letter, she said, I do
love you. I don't want things to go to waste. Maybe when things are different. That's the exact quote.
Yeah, but still not now.
It's still a not now, and he's like, nope, I've been breadcrumbed. This is what we call breadcrumbing potentially. Yeah. I've been led on. I wouldn't say led on because we don't know Emily's side, but I've been on the hook for far too long and he's checked out.
And do we buy that as a did she really love him at that moment? Or is this a too polite way of saying it's not gonna work out, if it, like, it's too nice to...
I'm telling you that if you scrapbook a card and you put fucking lace on it and you scrapbook the shit out of that, then there's some feelings there. Ain't no one gonna make a giant card.
No one busting out the lace without
No one's busting out the lace.
If you're breaking up with someone, you're not gonna make them a lace card and then put an I love you in a secret envelope.
I think she's still scared and I think she's still not ready. And I also think that she probably does love him, but not in a sexual romantic way at this point in her life.
And that letter is just the nicest, best way to
but potentially, as Alex says, she was asking him to uncheck out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he was done. Okay. So he says, and that was it. I walked away. Oh, this is sad. And other than a few Christmas and birthday cards in 86, 87, I have never seen or heard from her again. No. The social club where we spent so many nights together closed down February 1986. In fact, after it closed, I would never be close to the Hispanic community again. I was up to that point seeking a lifelong partner from my own community to make it easier on my parents. Shit, this is West Side Story. But that letter was a gift. I must have read it 100 times. It contained a strange poem of which she was not the author, about a ringmaster and a clown. I've since lost her last letter, but I'm certain now that that poem was a metaphor for the distance our love had to endure through the rollercoaster ride that was our special friendship. For I distinctly remember the last line saying, "For you are the ringmaster, but I am a clown." The gift of those three words I had so wanted to hear, "I love you," for nearly a year was in the end bittersweet. I was aching and I was grieving for the loss, but it set me on a path to better myself by converting to a part-time electrical engineer. Well, that was a left turn. Converting to a part-time electrical engineering course I'd started while I was with her to a full-time course to study with a view to a career. A distraction is one of the best remedies for heartache. Yes, yeah. Agreed.
Yep.
Yep.
With the added benefit that it would get my father off my back, who kept banging on that I should be getting a full-time job.
Jesus, Dad.
Get off my back. I'm in love,
I'm heartbroken.
I put up walls, as you do after an intense relationship breakup, but I also gained more confidence around girls and thought that I could be an attractive prospect, even to the pretty ones, something that I had never considered myself to be before I met Emily. However, after leaving her, I never put myself back at risk emotionally again. Oh, Alex. If I was to love again, the feelings had to be mutual and it had to be a sure thing. The ones that came after all kind of fell into me and came from a circle of friends I was keeping. We dated more as friends with potential, not that giddy meeting that I had with Emily. I think that sort of romance maybe only occurs once in a lifetime. I don't know.
I think it mostly occurs when you're teenagers.
Yeah. I agree, Alex.
I think it's really hard to have that kind of relationship when there's not something keeping you.
What? No, sorry.
And when you know how the world works. Anyway. I don't know. I also came to accept that multicultural Australia would throw any nationality at me, and she did. Turkish, Lebanese, Australian, Yugoslav, and Maltese. So I think what he's saying is he started dating outside of his community because fuck what my parents said.
Good.
Fast forward to 2022. I am happily married now with my Maltese wife of 31 years.
We Congratulations.
Met in, good.
We met in 1986, 5 months after Emily, at the college that I was studying. At the college that I was studying for that electrical engineering course. So the breakup with Emily put him in the electrical engineering course that got him to meet his wife. When I read those, I think your question's answered. When I read those words from that journal earlier this year, where most of this story exists, they whispered to me because in those pages I found pieces of me that I had somehow lost. I realized that in the intervening years, especially during and after the child-rearing years, that my relationships with those around me had become shallow, including some of the ones with my own wife. I'd left good mates behind in the different places I'd worked and studied and maintained acquaintances instead of friends. How did it get to this? I honestly don't know. Is it a guy thing from our generation? In contrast, my wife still sees friends from her job from 35 years ago. I definitely think women are better at maintaining long-term friendships. I think I would agree with that.
I would agree. I think when you're comparing yourself to your high school self, it is so much easier to just be all in on every relationship that you have, romantic or friendship or otherwise.
Everything's in high life school. Or death back
because
then.
Because it is like you've never been hurt. You've got nothing to lose. You don't know what it's going to be like if a friend betrays you.
You've never jumped in the pool and fucking belly flopped. You don't know.
It's so easy to make that kind of like aspirational lifelong declaration of friendship and believe it. When you don't have that experience of having to put the work in over years to maintain a relationship or a friendship.
Anyway, Alex says, after some soul searching, I decided to use these memories in my journal as a call to action and let those bits of who I once was come through in a kind of new old me. I felt I needed to be more attentive of the people around me, make the effort to connect with people on a deeper level, letting go, being a little more vulnerable as I was as a teenager, taking every opportunity to foster new friendships rather than let them pass me by, and making an effort to rekindle some of the old ones I left behind. This feels good. I have found my, now it says, you know what that word is?
Ikigai.
A kind of renewal of my being. Some say I'm having a midlife crisis. What is that anyway?
Look, I think that they're not, it's not too dissimilar. A midlife crisis is a guy trying to recapture the passion of his youth.
Women can have midlife crises too.
I think when women do it, it's not a crisis.
I have a quarter life crisis and then a midlife crisis. Look. Now, here's a twist. By chance, I found Emily on social media late last year.
What would you do?
Oh, no. I'm bracing myself for the worst.
I'm not going to. He gives a little bit too much identifying information, but I'm going to skip that. I did send her a direct message via Instagram, but she has either forgotten me or feels a little bit all too awkward as I got no response.
Don't find out. You don't want to know.
Do you know what? You used the experience of Emily as a grown-ass adult to help you be more vulnerable, open, honest, and show up as your authentic self. And I think that is her purpose in your life. I don't think it's her specifically. I think the growth that you got from her.
I think if I had done that for someone, I would like to hear about
it. Yeah?
Yeah. Even if like it was a bad relationship or a bad situation that ended poorly, but they've basically gone back and reflected 20 years later and said, hey, I know we're in different places right now, but this meant so much to me right now, and this is what I've gone on front to from there. Thank you for that. No expectations from now on, but yeah.
Look, I hesitate to say this, but when you message someone on Instagram out of the blue, occasionally it goes into another folder and they never see it. So there is a chance she actually did never see it.
Yeah.
Do with that information what you will, yes. Alex.
Ghost of Boyfriend Plus is not liable for any death. Check some
I wonder what the statistical probability of meeting her again by chance would be. Easier to win lotto, methinks, but maybe one day I'll run into her as I frequent. No, I'm not going to say that either because that's too much information. If it would mean a lot to me if I could tell her that I'm sorry for walking away all those years ago, for leaving without an explanation, because the ghost of her still haunts me to this day, as no relationship, not just romantic one, should ever end with the unanswered questions without an ending, with the closure that I did not give her, because trust me, you'll carry it like a heavy weight deep inside you for the rest of your life, coming to the surface on those occasions when you're reminded of them. And if that day ever comes past and we were to meet, the tears would certainly flow before I could get out that first hello. But I reckon after the emotion of those first few moments have passed, we'd talk as if we'd never broken our friendship. Sounds so simple, hey? Yep, so far away. It's something that would make this story complete. My best wishes for your show. Thanks.
Thank you. First off, thank you, Alex, for wishing us well, and for writing in.
For writing in such a beautifully composed, heart-wrenching roller coaster of teen love.
There's also relatable.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Like, so I went right back to the teen.
My little heart just felt like it had been broken by my first boyfriend out of the quadrangle at school.
Now, the issue of the hypothetical of if I ran into her again 20 years down the line, what would we say to each other? The things I would... That sort of temptation that everyone would have to reconnect with someone from years and years ago, if that opportunity... Should you take it? Would you only be disappointed in... Are you only leading yourself to upsetness or disappointness, or
with the words even if it's a positive Alex is outcome. Using in this, he's already written this big strings kind of
big crescendo.
This is a movie, right? Like this is 100% a movie, and there's probably a scene at the end where he spots her in a crowd and he imagines this montage of them talking and walking and doing all the things and laughing, and then it cuts back to the fact that he decides to never actually talk to her and keep walking. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's...
There is a movie called La La Land.
Yes. Oh, yes, of course.
And I think it's similar to that, whereas, like, they had a relationship that meant a lot.
Yes.
And they learned a lot.
Yes.
And they moved on.
Yes.
And then if they were to meet again, they would have to meet as the new people that they are, not the people that they were.
Yes.
And if Alex was looking to reconnect with the same person that she was 38 years ago, he would be disappointed. Yes. But if he was looking to learn where she is and what she learned and where she is now, then I think that could be.
Or even just to explain the profound impact that she had on him. Yeah. Like, if you are not wanting anything from somebody else from that interaction, and you want to, like, not wanting, expecting anything else from that interaction, then I think it's wise.
I think there's a difference between nostalgia and appreciation for where you've come from.
But you're also relying on the other person wanting to connect with you, because yes, you may want to tell this person from your past I do it every single day of my life, all the people in my past that I want to go find and apologize to and sit down and say, I did this and this and it hurt you this way, I'm sorry. Everyone wants that chance, right? But you don't get them often in life. So thinking about and wanting to reconnect you is torturing yourself, isn't it?
And here's a real life example. It's not about romance, but I probably about 10 years ago ran into my school bully, and she didn't even remember who I was. She ruined my fucking life. She ruined my life, and I was like, I wanted to go up and say something to her, and she was like, "Hey, sorry, who are you?" And I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Like, the stories that you, the things that you had a different. Things that had an impact on you are not always the things that had an impact on other people. But I would think if they did meet that I'd probably try and say, our relationship led me to my wife, and it led me, and rediscovering our relationship now 38 years later has led to me opening up and becoming a more vulnerable, attentive, empathic person.
Don't get me wrong. It's
honestly,
just
you're just showing her that letter.
Good point.
Yeah.
Just don't get me wrong. Being given the opportunity to have that conversation with someone is slim and rare. So don't plan for it, people at home, not just Alex. Don't plan on, one day she will want to, or they will want to meet me, and I want to meet them, and we will want to have the... That's not always going to pan out that way. So don't torture yourself on expectations of a coming together in the future. That would be my lessons learned if we are going to touch them from this little thing.
Look, my biggest lesson learned is that sometimes people are meant to come into your life for a reason, not a season, just to be super cliche about it. But some people's role in your life, even if you're like, oh no, what could have been? Like, think of all of the all of the flow and effect of the things that have happened in your life since that moment and how it changed you. And I think that the fact that Alex is able to look back on these journal entries and reflect that he's actually lost a bit of the passion that he used to have back then and gone after getting it back again is enough of a reason for Emily to have had a profound effect on his life.
I think what I've learned, and this is a really, really cynical thing to learn, gosh, it must have, like, if I had all the passion that I had as a teenager,
I'd be now, exhausted.
It'd be so exhausting.
I'm so tired, guys.
I'm just an old man.
I want a little bit of that passion. Like, I want little bit, like a soupçon, like a tiny, you know,
just a little bit, a little bit of that naivete back.
Yeah.
A little bit of that
optimism,
anti-cynicism.
That's called optimism.
is it? yeah.
A little bit of the romance back.
Like, that's the thing. Incredibly charmed by the story, but just like, I'm glad I'm not a teenager.
I'm glad I'm old.
Yeah.
Alex, thank you so much for writing in. I cannot tell you how much it means to both us and our readers to have had such a beautiful telenovela saga have read out.
Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for taking the time to be self-reflective, to put the mirror inward and ask yourself some questions along the way, you know.
Inject so much poetry into it.
Yes.
And the fact that you're writing into us shows that you are not clamming up and that you are being vulnerable. And thank you for that.
Yes, that's right. Men have a hard time opening up traditionally, historically, but you can help by opening up as you have. So you've helped other men that are coming after you, and that's a good thing to do, my friend. Thank you for listening as well. Thank you for taking our advice. Everybody else, take a minute to reflect on Alex's story, their bravery, and thank them for coming in as well. Thank you for listening and tuning in.
Do you have a story to tell? Because if you do, we will read it out for you, whether it's a teeny baby little story of some date that just went real bad, real fast. We'll tell that on a quickie. If it's a longer saga and you either can't be here or would rather not put your name to it, you can write to us at ghostsofboyfriendspast@gmail.com. If we don't reply to you, please hit us up on socials, because chances are it's gone into spam, because I make an effort to reply to literally every single thing that comes in. And oh my God, that takes a long time. So just let me know, because 100% I will write back. I couldn't think of the word just then. It's gone. But in the meantime, thank you so much again for listening. And guys, like, be more authentic, be vulnerable. Let's all capture a little bit, just a little bit. It's too tiring to capture a lot, but capture a little bit of that teenage romance back in our lives.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The ancient and esoteric order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.